Welcome to the Trinity Baptist Church podcast. For more information about our church and to keep up to date with the latest resources, please visit our website at www.trinitybaptist.org. Enjoy the podcast.
Prayer is the invitation of God through a welcome mat of his presence to come and be with him. Jesus in Luke 18 creates three images through stories. These images and stories all connect us to be able to see more clearly what God is wanting to show us. Prayer is that capacity to be able to open our hearts so that our eyes will be open to see what God is showing us. When you shut your eyes and you go into an image that comes to your mind, what is it that you see? In prayer, we may then take that image of his very presence. That may be a helpful image from a stained glass window here in the sanctuary. It may be an image of a sweet spot and place where you have been with God during tender times and tough circumstances. It may be the image by which you experience the nearness of God in order to rise to the troubles and meet the challenges which are before you. Jesus himself in Luke 18 is headed towards the cross. And on his march in towards Jerusalem and to confront the effort of sinful people unwilling to have their hearts opened to see what God was showing them of the very Messiah in their presence, Jesus was preparing those around him to be ready not only for that tragedy, but for the triumph that would come with his resurrection. God is showing you today what you need to see tomorrow. God is showing you in the experience of worship what you need to be seeing that you've been missing. That's true for me. I shared with you on the first Sunday in January that my go-to verses for 2021 are four of the shortest verses in all the Bible. It helps my simple mind. Rejoice continually. Pray always. Be grateful to God in all circumstances through Jesus Christ. And do not quench the Spirit. From 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. The sense of being in a flow with God in whatever circumstances is the welcome mat invitation of how to live life that God provides for us. A friend of mine who owns a ranch was kind enough to let me walk the ground with him, and we went up onto one of the higher points of a hilltop, and there he had placed a cross as an image. And as I looked at the cross, once again, I could see the cross as being a window to the world by which the cross of Jesus hanging then was reaching out his arms to all who were around him and whose cross was directed from bringing the heavenly life into an earthly offering to every person. North, south, east, west. And by that cross, you can look across the land and see more clearly the ranch house, the pastures, and the vista of what is seen. We need an image in our mind of being in God's presence by which then we can take that image wherever we go and wherever we are. That's why Jesus in Luke 18:1 opens it this way. He looked to the disciples and then he showed them how they should always pray and therefore not lose heart. This prayer is not a shoulda, gotta, oughta, but it's a want-to invitation. All of us can be fatigued by life. We are tired by all the demands that this last year has placed upon us on multiple fronts. But in the midst of that, God comes with a renewing presence and promise by which we then can experience the courage of our heart. Time and again, Jesus through his ministry would say, do not lose heart. But here he gives us a clue on how not to lose heart. That is to continually be in prayer. Now prayer in our circumstances of work and our relationships, quiet prayer, prayer with the images of simply knowing that we are in God's presence. And then bring a full focus to the task that needs to be done. But the awareness of being in God's presence is what renews us and gives us the power to see when our hearts, what we would miss from our eyes if we hadn't been attuned to what he is showing us. So one, we find in the opening parable of Luke 18 is there are circumstances that we may see through prayerful eyes. We'll miss them otherwise. Even as this woman on a prayer bench has circumstances that are weighing down on her like you have, maybe as you enter the sanctuary today. And that is in the midst of these circumstances, God wants us to see the cross, by which then to see the context by which we're living our lives. In a way that we can be encouraged and lifted up in the promise of his presence to see a pathway that we would have missed otherwise only in our anxiety and our hurt. Seeing the circumstances then through prayerful eyes, he then shows us through a parable. And the parable then has a widow. The most vulnerable person in society in the day of Jesus was a woman who had been married and was no longer married. In the midst of her not having access to the court systems and needing to depend upon others, and if the widow, maybe her family that she had married into is not being supportive, and she literally is on her own or with the help with some friends, and she is going to a judge that Jesus calls unjust. And in going to the judge, she's asking for justice to be given. Maybe it was a business deal that her husband had made that the other person's not honoring because her husband is no longer alive. Maybe it's people taking advantage of boundary lines or property that is rightfully hers and is no longer. Maybe it's the means of people bringing their prejudices upon her and calling her names and pushing and shoving her in the marketplace. So this widow then cried out in a prayerful call of justice, in the prayerful call of justice of her circumstances. And here's the catch of the circumstances for this woman. She was needing to call out to a judge who did not fear God or listen to people, did not have a respect for God's ways, and was not concerned at all about the feelings of people. Centered in his prayer mind, it was simply himself in the power of being a judge. In the promise of God, then it's a promise by which God then may show us to see the circumstances through his lens of his presence or through the cross. And therefore, she stayed after it. Her prayers were vigilant. They persevered, praying continually. She took her circumstances. She offered them to God through the promises of God. And then the judge says, I don't care about this woman at all. But I am tired of her nagging me. I'm hearing her voice inside my head at 2 in the morning. I'm seeing her at 2 in the afternoon, day after day after day. And then I'm going to do what she wants, not because I want what she wants in her heart. I just want to be rid of her. And then Jesus, in arguing from lesser to greater, Jesus making it clear, if human behavior responds that way, think how God wants to engage the needs of your life, the God who loves you and cares for you, created you for a life of promise. Therefore, bring your circumstances into your prayerful eye to be able to see God's response. When we close our eyes, we may close our eyes to kind of shut out all the other pressures and pulls upon our life, to be able to visualize. And when we do in prayer, to be able to sense the presence of God just being there like a cross centering, so we can see everything more clearly. And he'll relax us. And then we'll be able to see what we weren't able to see before. Jesus wanted the disciples then to see every widow, every person of equally valuable to God. He wanted all the judges, maybe they were listening on the fringes of the conversation, you need to be just or you'll be held accountable. But he's giving the confidence of the character of God that can touch our character. So when we pray to see what God is showing us, we bring our circumstances for God to show them more clearly to us. And we bring ourselves, so that we may be able to see ourselves through prayerful eyes. And through these prayerful eyes that God shows us, then we're able to step into a better way of understanding who we are. And that's the second parable in Luke 18, the one that the Harper family read, and so tender, in which Steve's just returning in his medical work on a deployment with the military. Well, last week we celebrated his greeting back at the airport with the family. They're reading scriptures now. It's the sense of the power of being together. Prayers answered while he was there. Prayers answered hear the reading of the scripture. And in this story, it's the story of the one who may come into God's presence with a sense of mercy. Jesus said it's like being in the temple. we go into the temple, the ultimate place in the religious life of Jesus' day, and to go there, Jesus said, it's like it's one day I was noticing. There was a Pharisee who was a religious leader who had lost sight of his faith, and his faith eyes of his heart weren't showing him what God was wanting to see. And his problem was this: he would enter the time of prayer and he would say, Lord, thank you for this, you're making me who I am, and you're not making me like an adulterer, a robber, a tax collector, or others. And it's a good thing that he wasn't committing adultery. It was a good thing he wasn't robbing people of their money. But it was a wrong thing that he thought it was about his own self-righteousness and not God's righteousness shaping his heart through the circumstances of his life. Arrogance will ultimately bring us down. The downfall of arrogance in our life, whether we feel like we're better than someone else or that we have a sense that God centers all of his creation just around us and not anyone else, will always bring us down. And then there was a person in the temple who was praying, who indeed was a tax collector. He was someone that was known as a sinner. And he was praying that prayer. He was saying, Lord, have mercy on me. The prayer of mercy. Lord, have mercy on me. Lord, have mercy on me. And the sense of that mercy was coming out of the awareness of a sinfulness in his life, giving it to God. So when this person shut his eyes and he was no longer just seeing his sin, no longer just focusing on his temptation, he was not just seeing himself as a sinner, but he was able to see himself held in the mercy of God. And then the people of God called like us, are to be able to have those eyes of mercy from God's grace and to see others with that same kind of way and to look at the image within ourselves. One of the great writers and spiritual seers of the 20th century was Thomas Merton, who worked from a place in Kentucky when we lived there that I went frequently for times of prayer and reflection. Merton said, man is not at peace with other men and women because he's not at peace with himself. And he's not at peace with himself because he's not at peace with God. The headwaters of peace flow from being at peace with God, the invitation of come and be with me, and I will remove the burden of your life in a way that your life will fit just right. And that you may love yourself and feel my love. And therefore you come in the flow with the lives of others. And Jesus then would say, oh, it's the person in Luke 18:14. For all of those who then exalt themselves will be humbled, and all those who are humbled will be exalted. He would say in a parallel passage that the last will be first and the first will be last. Anytime that we build ourselves up by puffing our own ego agenda stuff, then we get foggy. It gets foggy. We can't see as clearly. I know I see better every morning when I put on my glasses or my contact lens. I once made a mistake with my contact lens before our wedding, and my contacts were reversed. And it was just really hard to focus on all that needed to be done by having a reverse vision. Talk about praying in the moment to see with the eyes of the heart. Our vision can be thrown off by the stuff in this world and the stuff we do in our lives, and God just settles us down. And to say, see me. It happens by this prayer, for Jesus would say in the Beatitude, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. It was an amateur antique dealer who was in Connecticut, just recently, as you may have read the story. And there he was looking through some of the stuff, and he saw not stuff, but an artifact. He saw a bowl. And he thought to himself, is this really what I think it's looking at? So he spent a whopping $35 for this bowl. But then he showed the bowl to people who could appraise it. And sure enough, it was a treasure. It was from the 1400s of the third generation of the Ming Dynasty in China. And sold it at auction for $722,000. The sight to see something is going on. and that something is going on then creates an opportunity where we become a player. And the Lord says, we can get really excited about this kind of stuff, but let me tell you, your life, your opportunities, the people with whom you are living, that's who I want you to see clearly as the opportunity. And then you discover their true value of a heavenly price for earthly life. That's you. And then the story that culminates in this Luke 18 triad is the story about Jesus saying, I know, have you gotten what I've been telling you? Have you been paying attention? And the disciples were pretty proud of themselves, like, yeah, they had. But then there were parents who were bringing their children to Jesus. And the disciples said, no, our rabbi, our master is too important for the children to come. And they were pushing the children away. And Jesus was saying, you still don't get it. He says it to Leslie Holland, you still don't get it. My hunch, he says it to you at times, you still don't get it. But you can, at that next level, the next learning, the next application, the next challenge, the next opportunity, you can get it now. Because what the child represents is a childlikeness, a trust, a vulnerability, an innocence, a worthiness. The child can't do it on his or her own, but the child being embraced and taken in, then it becomes a teacher of how it is to stay curious on the adventure and learning. And Jesus said, you see the kingdom of God when you have this childlikeness at work through you. Are you able to see this kingdom presence of God? That's when the ways of God can be lived here on earth. That's when the ways of God can be lived in your circumstances, the ways of God be lived in how you see yourself to be a servant in the world, how the ways of God in the midst of your vulnerable life become a treasure piece of trusting him. And so he said, as he then called the children to be with him, like a welcome mat, he said, now come. And to all the adults listening on the edge of the children's sermon, he said, now unless you come with a childlikeness, you can't enter into the kingdom of God. Unless you come with this kind of humility and curiosity and the willingness to be vulnerable in his presence and to trust, then you've just continued to be exalting yourself and you haven't been humbled. You continue to not being merciful into the eyes of how you look at others. But with the life of being shaped as a youth, as an adult, or as a child in the wonder of God, well, it enables us to know what he's saying. Because Jesus then, in these same parables, and he's asking the question, are you able to see what I'm showing you? Then he says, what I'm curious about, will I be able to see from you what I want to see? Will you be able to show me what I want to see from you? In Luke 18:8, he said, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth? At the end of each day is a good time to ask this question. Has the Lord been able to see faith at work in your life through the day you have just lived? And has the Lord been able to see faith as you go to rest in the night to say, Lord, teach me, guide me, shape me, form me, fashion me for tomorrow so that my circumstances and my seeing myself will reflect your image into our world? Let it be, Lord. Let it be. And this brings us to the invitation of invitations from the Lord. You were given, as a follower of Christ, you were given the elements of a bread and the cup. They're what we're to hold, and God has wanted you to see these as signs of his presence, being with you, to nourish you, to a call of faith that transforms you. And in this transformation, then you are exalted. And being humbled in light of him, you're exalted into his presence. And because he is worthy, you and I, we then become able to take that worthiness of a story of this is my body, which is given to you. This is my blood as a covenant for you. So unto these elements, I take the bread as the loaf. For Jesus said he was the breath of life. Like Christ from the cross, which he gave his life. That as now you take of the bread in remembrance of him. Showing the disciples in the upper room the experience of how to understand every day, how to understand what was going to happen on the day at Calvary, the crucifixion. Said, you will see me crucified, but I want you to know what's really going on. There's life, there's sacrifice, and the sacrifice of my blood is the sign of a covenant that you may know the joy and the gift of salvation. So with the cup of salvation, take in remembrance of him. Well, Jesus, we need thee every hour. We need you in the center of our lives. We've come with confession of how we have placed too many other things and people and our own stuff of worries as center in our lives. But thank you that you call us into a relationship and a conversation of prayer that we then may be with you. This conversation leads us now to our second invitation. Unto you, O Lord, we come. Through Christ. Amen.
We hope you enjoyed your segment of the Trinity Baptist Church podcast. For more information about our church and to keep up to date with the latest resources, please visit our website at www.trinitybaptist.org.